I love that television show Breaking Bad, and had a chance to watch it again for, I think, the third time or fourth time all the way through.
I would say at least. Yeah, you've watched it more than a few times.
It's one of those things I put on in the background here at the office, and it just makes me smile. One of those is one of the scenes I really like is the scene where Skyler is talking to Walt, and we're going to play a video, a clip of that, an audio clip from that. She's talking about the problem of laundering money at a car wash. And so I'm going to play that right now, but it's one of the things that if you see all the car washes popping up across the country, and especially in the Ocala metropolitan area, I think we have 437
and growing.
And growing, yeah. So here's a quick clip from Breaking Bad, and we'll be right back.
Bogdan was averaging 19 cars during rush hour, and we are already up to 22 actual cars. Last night, I deposited $3,800. Jesus. How much is that?
$274,000. Give or take.
Give or take?
Yeah. I haven't counted it.
Wait. 274, and this is how often?
Every 2 weeks. Thursday's good for a drop-off.
Wait, Walt, are you telling me you make $7,125,000 a year?
Seven and a half, even, before expenses.
But I can't, this is too much.
So it's more than you thought, and this is somehow bad news.
No, that's not the point. I mean, there is no car wash in the world that could do this kind of business. I mean, this is 9 months' work here, minimum. $7 million? That could take years.
Welcome to the Paul Truesdell Podcast. Two Pauls in a pod, Paul the Elder and Paul the Younger. This episode is sponsored by Truesdell Wealth, a registered investment advisor, where tradition, transparency, and truthfulness are the bedrocks to the practice. Now back to the Pauls.
So yeah, Skyler is trying to launder money.
And just like the TV show and every other, I guess, instance of this that's realistic, you start to reach pretty obvious limits when you're trying to actually do that through a car wash. How many cash paying customers do you have?
Yeah, it's not exactly a lot of cash paying customers, and everything has really changed a lot. Listen, just by any remote possibility, you know George Carlin.
Of course.
You know Richard Pryor.
Of course.
But do you know the movie Car Wash?
Yes.
Okay.
I probably haven't seen it in, I don't know, 15, 20 years. It's been a long time.
We're going to play a little quick item from Car Wash, the theme song, and you can chuckle and laugh, and we'll do a quick sponsorship from Truesdell Wealth. We'll be right back right after this.
Did you know that you may be taken to the cleaners by those who charge the slow bleed scheme known as assets under management? That's right. Investment advisors who charge a commission based on the value of your portfolio are often taking you to the cleaners, and thus the theme to think about. This episode is sponsored by Truesdell Wealth, a registered investment advisor, where tradition, transparency, and truthfulness are the bedrocks to the practice. Truesdell Wealth, a true fiduciary-based registered investment advisor based on common sense and fairness. Now back to the Pauls.
Come on, y'all, and sing it for me.
Car wash.
Well, I guess with 280 million private cars and trucks in the country, I guess it's a dirty place.
Yeah, there's a lot of cars driving around, moving a lot of mud and a lot of dirt and environmental contaminants.
We're getting a free car wash today. It's getting a little bit of rain.
Yeah, it doesn't work very well, though.
Didn't work that way. Well, apparently there's a growing concern. You and I have talked about this extensively. I have said for years that these car washes are nothing more than money laundering schemes. And this goes back not in the last few years. I'm talking many decades. This is well before Breaking Bad.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, this has been a thing in the zeitgeist for a long time. I mean, it goes back 40, 50 years. It's any solid service only cash based business is an ideal target for that sort of thing.
But car washes, with Richard Pryor and George Carlin and cash are becoming a thing of the past. Unfortunately, we still have these beggars on the side of the road. But it's not necessarily a place to launder money as much as it is a place to do something other than that. So give me your tag on it, because I think a lot of people are not as familiar as we are on the car wash.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. There's a lot of questions people have. Why do you need so many car washes? All that sort of stuff. But really what it comes down to is in the time period after COVID, low 0% interest rates and lots of money swirling in private equity's pockets. There's a lot of money invested in car washes for one reason or another. And the biggest, I guess, comes down, I think, to kind of bring things simply, it's two things. It's a business that has a huge upfront capital expenditure that then doesn't really have a lot of maintenance costs, right?
Very, very few maintenance. I mean, we're going to go through some of the history items that I pulled down on it. But yeah, labor costs are just almost nil now.
And new car washes, you look at them, there's almost nobody there. They're fully automated. You do your own vacuuming. It doesn't seem like many of them have professional services that you can pay somebody to do it for you. It's pretty much all self-service.
And everybody, for those of you who are under the age of maybe 30, 35 car washes in the past, of course, the automatic car wash was not something that a lot of us used. But, you had people actually had car wash stands. I mean, that was a really popular thing back in the 80s, especially around the housing projects. You always had on the peripheral of them. You know, white folks didn't exactly go into the hood, but they went to the peripheral, and you could always get your car washed. And I mean,
car wash and detail and all the stuff that if you didn't have time or didn't want to do.
Yeah,
you pay $20-$30 and get it done. And of course, these days it won't be anywhere remotely near that price. But but same thing applies. And so now we're just replacing it with technology. And the thing that's even weirder is, of course, the appification of everything. You know, you set up a subscription online or on an app, and that's your access to drive your car through the automatic car wash, and there's effectively nobody involved. So it's kind of a weird hybrid between an obvious business that there's going to always be a steady, static need for the service, combined with leveraging technology, I guess.
Yeah, so Skylar's not going to be able to take her $5 super wash coupon and launder the $50 bills. Now, one of the problems a lot of people don't realize is that unlike a lot of different stores, grocery stores, restaurants, rather, various businesses, most self-service car washes, a lot of communities don't pay any taxes. They don't pay any income taxes, sales tax, rather. They don't pay any sales tax. That's a problem. In fact, even in Florida, we have a car wash, as long as you're not using, if you're using, I can't remember exactly what it is, but Florida has exempt car washes from a sales tax. If not using silicone or some type of wax, there's some kind of a rule there.
Interesting. Well, that makes a lot of sense. The car wash business has a lot to do with tax incentives.
Oh, that's what it is. I remember that. Now, it's they only use detergent and soft water. They're exempt.
Okay. That's interesting. Well,
don't ask me why.
So a lot of the car wash business has everything to do with tax incentives too.
Yeah.
And since 9/11, we've had this bonus deprecation scheme for certain types of equipment write-offs. Obviously, a car wash business is nothing but a giant capital investment in equipment. You know, there's water recycling systems. There's the actual obvious equipment that you see. There's the buildings. There's all kinds of very interesting things to make them more efficient. The drying systems, basically big fans, big blowers. anyways, all these various items that are very expensive capital investments, but because of the way you can structure your deprecations when it comes to your capital investment, you end up net-net, if you actually have income to write off against, these things can be fairly negligible as far as cost-wise over a 2 or 3 year period to actually build, assuming you have the capital to do so.
Well, the gross revenue of a typical car wash is about $1.5 million.
So, yeah, that makes sense. So about half your average McDonald's.
So, yeah, I mean, think about it. You know, you drop a couple $1 million into a car wash. You drop the land in the car wash. And you recover gross that revenue in 1, 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
And they're, generally speaking, they're revenue neutral. Most of these car washes are revenue neutral. They're bringing in about as much as they are paying out. They're not really, you know, you're not looking at 20-30% technology booms. These are boring items, but that's not why they're being built.
No, so that's the secondary aspect of why would you build a car wash? You know, is you're creating a vehicle that does some economic activity that effectively covers the taxes and insurance and generates some profit, but you're going to take all the profit out of the business at the end of the year anyway. That's not the purpose of it, is not to grow it really, right?
No, the purpose is not really to squat.
It's the key is you're squatting on a piece of property over a long period, and you're speculating on that piece of property. That's why when you look at the Kinnick, he complains that the locals in any community have about car washes. Why is it squatting? Why did they allow this thing on such prime real estate? That inevitably is the same complaint everywhere you go. In the same case, I mean, there's other businesses that fit this category we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I think when you said the word squat, I think a lot of people probably, if they're listening, went, huh, what? But yeah, you're literally squatting. So think of it like this, okay? On Highway 200 in Ocala, Florida, which is a main thoroughfare, a lot of retirement communities, et cetera, at the corner of, I think, was it 95th? Yeah. I think it's 95th.
Yeah.
You've got a brand new, you've got a corner, you've got a Lowe's, you've got a...
Bank.
You got a bank. You've got a Circle K gas convenience station. You got an Aldi's. And, of course, you have what else? Brand new car wash.
Yep. I think it's almost open.
Yeah. So.
And there's several others that are on prime pieces of real estate. Corners, you know, advantageous distances and turn lanes and all this sort of stuff all over town. I mean, there's one next to the new Chick-fil-A by the hospital. There's, and this is just on 200. I mean, you can go out all over the place, you know, US 27 and 441. There's all kinds of all over the place of, you know, you'd never expect a giant, brand new fancy car wash to pop up there, but they do.
It reminds me of the episode of Star Trek, the Trouble with Tribbles. They just keep growing and growing and populating. Yeah. But yeah, listen, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag because we have some ideas and plans down line. But that particular lot, you and I have looked at it. We looked at it too long. We didn't do anything. But we thought about buying that and building a multi-story building for the expansion we have planned for the Truesdell companies. And not that we have outgrown this or are selling our Alamo. We're not doing that. But we've planned for a little while to expand, and that was one of the spots we had picked out. And now you got a squatter on it.
Yeah. Now you have a revenue-neutral car wash.
Should have built a damn car wash. So here's the thing, folks. I mean, look, this is a thing across the country. A lot of us who are boomers remember when used to have full-service gas stations. Is there a full-service gas station anywhere in the county?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, there might be some mom-and-pop shop, but that would be the exception.
You know, you used to, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you used to have people dressed in, go back to the movie, what was it? It was Back to the Future, I think it was. And, people used to fill your gas, wipe your windows, and do all that kind of stuff. You used to have their little uniforms on, Texaco, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, then, in New Jersey and Oregon, or as they call it, their Oregon, you're not allowed to pump your own gas. It's against the law.
I forgot that was still the case.
Well, it's super strange.
But are you allowed to plug your electric vehicle in without assistance?
I don't know. That's interesting. I would assume you can, because it is probably a overly specific series of regulations, but in theory, you would think that would apply as well.
Hey, listen, the nanny state day, the day is coming when they may say that in order to plug an electric device into the wall, you need an electrician.
Oh no, it just has to be pre-wired.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, you can't remove it. It has to be. Yeah.
So the whole thing is that, technology drives things. The Luddites, why don't you talk in a minute about the Luddites, because I think you can probably do a better job of that than I can. But you have technology replaces, the rum-dum jobs. Now, the problem with the rum-dum jobs is that you got a lot of people who are rum-dums. And, not every crayon in the box is real sharp. Not every star in the sky is real bright, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so as a result, you have more and more immigration coming into the country, and so technology in some areas is not progressing as fast as it could. But now when you have things like this, a lot of illegal aliens worked at places like fast food restaurants. And then you couldn't do that anymore because you have to verify everybody.
Yep.
You've worked at criminals trying to get their act together. We'll just go with that. And illegals and everybody else worked at places like car washes, not being demeaning, but there were places for these people to work.
Oh, yeah. Cash pay businesses that looked the other way on people's status. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not, again, for anyone who is a bleeding heart, crazy liberal, you got to chill out. This is... We're investment advisors. We're forecasters, and that's how we make our money and have done very well at it. And so you just sit back and, people's habits change, technology changes. So you're seeing more and more fast food restaurants. Like, what's that restaurant at the chicken place? What's the name of that place? Everybody loves the chicken
Chick-fil-A.
Place. Chick-fil-A. Closed on Sundays, right?
Yeah.
Closed on Sundays. Those places are just drive-through maniac locations, and you get a lot more food out the door when people are driving through rather than dining in. And that whole concept about cutting down on staffing. So with these fast food restaurants, drive-throughs, now with all these automated car washes, there's fewer jobs. I mean, a lot fewer jobs. And in the case of Florida, not necessarily getting a real bang on sales tax either.
No, and see, the thing is, the booming car washes, like I said, I mean, it comes down to this like post-COVID era. And, there's all these incentives and all this stuff, but there's also a change in consumer habit. Consumers during COVID continued to wash their cars as much as they did before. They just made an excuse to go out and drive around, right?
Right.
On top of that, people are not washing their own vehicles as much as they used to because, you know, I guess when you weigh 450 pounds, it's hard to get and roll around and wash your car. And, you know, you got to use your vehicle to get to the Chick-fil-A to get more calories. Obviously, that's a gross exaggeration, but, you know, it kind of digs into this thing that little things people used to do used to increase everybody's, you know, weekly, monthly, yearly base metabolic rate. And then they wonder why they eat, why everybody's so overweight. It's like, well, it's because nobody's doing anything. I mean, you know, washing your car. I mean, I wear a Garmin, you know, GPS watch, and it tracks all of my little metrics and everything. And I can tell you, washing my truck takes between 1,000 and 1,400 calories every time I do it. Granted, I, you know, that's inside and out and detailing and all that sort of stuff. Usually takes 2 to 3 hours. Well, that's one meal for most people. So anyway, the point is just it's a little pet peeve where people seem to forget that you need to exercise and move around and stuff. And little things like this added to that kind of base rate that kept everybody thinner and healthier years ago. But anyway, so, you know, during COVID, people increasingly didn't wash their cars. They let somebody else do it. They took it to a fully automated place. But the other thing is in Florida in particular, and in other states, this is also being driven, the fully automated aspect of the car washes is driven by the sales tax. I mean, not the sales tax, the lack of sales tax and all that, but also the minimum wage. Because by next year, the minimum wage in Florida is $15 an hour. Granted, with inflation and everything, it starts to make more sense than it did a few years ago when it passed as a... under the referendum. But the point is that your base wage cost for a lot of manual labor or skilled labor jobs has increased to a point where it now makes sense to invest in automation. And it's funny because this is one of the you know, prime complaints of people like Frederick Douglass, who, you know, in the post-Civil War era was very upset that the freed slaves did not have the economic bounty that they expected they would. And it was very much a result of the same thing that happened during in the Roman Empire, where machines and technology existed in the Roman Empire. People fail to remember that. But slavery kept the technology from ever paying off or making sense. So you didn't get a whole lot of technological advancements other than highly specialized things like clocks and other things that humans couldn't do, because why do that when you can literally own a handful of people and they can do it as well as your crappy little machine can. And so the, you know, obviously the value of human life and all that sort of stuff being what it is at those times, the economic investment didn't make any sense. So you just never got to, quote unquote, you know, mass production capacity that brought the cost of the items down in a reasonable way. So, you know, it didn't happen. And the same thing happened in America. You know, the North had a huge boom in the textile business, right? But that happened because they got rid of slavery in certain states, and these people could invest in substantial automation, and it actually made sense economically, instead of just having rooms full of people working manual mills or looms.
Yeah.
So same thing applied to the South, where, okay, once it was no longer okay to have a whole bunch of slaves doing manual labor, people invested in automation equipment immediately.
Well, one of the things,
of course,
yeah,
you know, that's an aspect of that time period that doesn't get talked about much, but it's also it's applicable to everything today, especially as technology continues to march on. You know, if you've been to a McDonald's in the past handful of years, you will have seen the automatic order stands pop up, you know, the little kiosks, and obviously every fast food restaurant now has apps and things for ordering and, you know, going in and picking up or drive through or even delivery now. And,
well, I've got a couple of things.
Anyway, I think in general it's interesting because it's important to kind of keep that historical context of wages drive automation. It it's usually the biggest prime mover of automation technology, because it's never going to be cheap. But if that calculation starts to work out, then people will spend the money.
I'll give you a couple of things and you can opine on them. The phrase idle minds, idle hands. I would say idle minds, idle hands breeds crime. And I think that's a very obvious thing. You know, you just got a lot of people, they got a lot of, you know, in their 20s, guys are just hanging out. What are you going to do? You're at the corner, you're slinging dope. And of course, you don't have that kind of such obvious like you used to years ago when I was down in Tampa. But
depends on where you're at. I've seen it.
But yeah, you've seen it, yeah.
I mean, recently.
And then, you know, a couple of things, and again, I'm just going to throw these things out. You can kind of pick them up as you want. For those of you who are waiters and waitresses, as the wage goes up, I've talked to a lot of people who said, yeah, my tip money has gone down. And so you're just not, look, here's the thing. Everybody is seeing this kind of stuff. If your bill that used to be $10 is now $20 and $30, the tip is going to go down to the waiter or waitress. That's all there is to it. But I want to go back to another thing here, and you can kind of grab whatever you want. This is more of a reminiscing thing. You know, when I was a kid, Saturday morning, people would get out and mow their grass, okay?
Yeah.
Men, it was the fathers and the boys. The women didn't do it. The daughters didn't do it. It was the men and their sons. Everybody in the neighborhood got up on a Saturday and started mowing the grass.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't care. When the sun came up, guys were out there doing it. Now, the whole idea was, and I'm dead serious on this, nobody complained about Elmer getting up at the crack of dawn mowing his grass. It's Saturday. You worked on Saturday. You did your household chores. Because you worked in our neighborhood Monday through Friday, you know, most of the dads worked at jobs and yada, you know, owned businesses, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, mom would, and like everybody else, you could smell laundry because, you know, they were doing the laundry. They were doing the laundry. But there was an unwritten rule in the neighborhood. You had to get your damn yard done by noon, because once noon hit, people had lunch. I'm serious, yeah, sure. As a freaking heart attack. This was the unwritten rule throughout the neighborhood. Now, if some guy started mowing his grass in the afternoon, he got looks. Let's just say, like, really?
Yeah.
Because after lunch, what do you think the guys did?
I'm going to say they take a siesta.
They wash their cars.
That too.
You wash your cars. Okay? So the key was...
I would say late afternoon, depending on where you're at in the country.
Well, but... A lot of the neighborhoods, ours, our house, you had some big maple trees and things like that. So you wash your car under the tree.
Okay,
The shade was kind of like, it was a whole thing. It literally was a whole thing. Also in the afternoon, you don't want people mowing the grass because guess what mom would do? Mom hung her clothes out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't need a bunch of crap dust blowing around.
Well, the other thing is by then, I mean, anybody that's actually mowed their own yard and done their own lawn maintenance, you want to get it while it's moist, even though it may be a little bit more cleanup and whatever. The dust blowing around is not as much, especially if it's pollen season. Ugh. You know, you're not inhaling everything that will make you your nose swell up and become inflamed.
Yeah. So, and see, here's the other thing,
and
you know,
ruin your Sunday.
Yeah, so the other thing is, you know, us kids, and this was all often real common, what we would do is we'd wash our parents' cars, okay? And you got to remember, we were 14, 15, 16 years of age. Back in the day when my dad didn't care, go drive, no license, just go drive.
Sure.
And people don't realize what that was like. Even the cops, nobody gave a damn about that. Just safe and sane. But you'd wash, you know, help dad with the mowing the yard, doing all that kind of stuff, wash the cars, you know, we shop vacs. That was a big deal. Whoever had a shop vac in the neighborhood, they drug that thing all around.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were big and metal and all that.
The big stainless, shiny metal.
Yeah.
They still make a few of those. They're like the retro. And I'm sure they'll last longer than everybody else's. Yeah.
The last, your grandchildren's, they'll die before a thing dies. But then we'd go to a place called Whitnall Park with our girlfriends and, you know, usually snag a beer or two from the refrigerator. We'd wax our car in the park and, you know, play our music and Bach and Turner Overdrive and everything else, having a good time. But yeah, that, you know, it, but you don't have that. That's, those days are gone. They're gone.
Yeah.
And so now car washes, we have city councils and county commissions approving them one after another when somebody needs to say, slow down. In fact, there are cities out there and counties are saying, enough. If they have a moratorium on them because they're not doing anything for revenue for the city and county.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it, like I said, it goes back to how it's all classified and everything. If you have special tax exemption for certain kinds of car washes, and then on top of that, you also have they're fully automatic. You know, how do they qualify as far as are they a service? Are they a product? You know, services in some states and some areas aren't taxed.
And there's 60,000 of these things, and they're growing at 5% rate per year.
Yeah, so that's absolutely nuts. I would say that if there's not enough car washes currently, then I don't know how to think about that. One other thing I did see about the car wash thing, quite interesting, is somebody somewhere made a comment about how maybe it was they used to work at one or something like this. But anyway, they had some insider knowledge, and they said that they were busier from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. than any other time of the day, which, of course, you know, my mind immediately went to, oh, this is money laundering, ding, ding, ding. But what it was is car dealers. They take a car in the middle of the night. They're chauffeuring cars back and forth that are, you know, used cars, obviously.
No kidding.
To get them washed up, so they put them on the used section of the lot.
Oh, you know, and that makes so much sense, because you know what I've not seen? Used to see mobile car wash at the car dealer. You don't see that anymore.
You see it on lots that have new cars because they don't want to put miles on them.
I never would have thought of that.
But yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting observation, I thought. It's one of those things you wouldn't think about unless, obviously, you... you saw the train of the used cars going into the thing.
Well, sure, that makes sense, because you can't hire some kid who's like 10 to 14, 16 years of age to do a lot of stuff without violating every law. Because I don't think you're an adult now in the country until you're what, 24 or 27 now? The mind
it's
is
20 minutes before death.
20 minutes before death. The point, I hope we made this clear, what's happening is we have a lot of venture capital money. We have a lot of hedge fund money. We have a lot of big, big money out there, whatever you want to call it. And they're buying property. And, you know, just so you know, we're not making a lot more land here in the U.S., although we probably should invade Canada and Mexico and take it over and make it the greater.
Oh, we'll have even more room for car washes.
More car washes. Bucky's can expand even further.
Yeah,
but seriously, I mean, that's what's going on, and it's an investment. I'm just, well, okay, I think this is a good piece of property. Well, it's got some good appreciation. Throw this crappy car wash up, it breaks even. Give me a few dollars.
Well, yeah, it's a dual purpose investment, right? It does both. It makes a little bit of money, and then eventually, in the long run, it makes even more.
Yeah. People sit in their car, you know, not a lot to break. And if anything does break, they're likely not hurt themselves. And you can't really fault somebody for tripping and falling over the hoses if they're doing their own thing. So, it's, you know, the liability is pretty good. We talked about Luddites. Do you want to cover that? You want me to cover that? It goes back to the days of the English looms and how they went nuts.
Yeah, it's just, you know, early 19th century when... the Industrial Revolution started creeping into the textile business in Britain. People were outraged over it because they saw the impact on employment and, you know, automation's effect on the average person's ability to earn a wage. They saw it as destructive to normal jobs. And, you know, the time period, I guess, you know, you had some raids and attacks on certain facilities and things. And anyway, the Luddites, so now it's a pejorative, but it actually was a movement at one point in time against technological advancement of the textile industry, which seems so distant and unrelatable to most people, but it's perfectly applicable to what we're talking about now. And, you know, nowadays, if you're a Luddite, it's effectively it's an epithet for people that don't like technology or have any criticism of any technological advancement, period, end of story, which is funny because these people come from a time period that they effectively were just released, you know, within relative time periods, they were recently released from being serfs. So they're allowed to have jobs and control their own destiny. And the moment people had to start paying for things, does this sound familiar? Oh, the people who own the land and have the access to the resources are like, screw paying these guys. Let's find a way to automate them, because turns out herding cats and employees are very much a similar task, and they're expensive. And especially when you're dealing with a lot of, like, you know, mild to low skill people, at a certain point, it starts to make sense to start investing in automation. And, you know, it's kind of the whole story of Europe. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of stuff like this. I believe it's 1848. There were a bunch of, I think it's the revolutions of 1848. I think most countries in Europe had a little mini revolt. And a lot of it had to do with very much the same thing. Serfdom was being ended all across Europe, and people were going to work in various places, and automation and people not being able to find jobs was a huge component of this. The Industrial Revolution played a key role, as far as I'm aware, in that entire scenario. So there's another thing most people don't know anything about is, right before the American Revolution, there was a continental revolutionary war that popped up pretty much in every country except for England and a few places. But it all had to do with labor and a change in lifestyle and how people did things.
Well, I'm going to stand up, get a cup of coffee. I'm going to stretch for a minute. Why don't you do the same thing? And we're going to remind you who our sponsor is for the Paul Truesdell podcast. We'll be right back right after this.
Did you know that you may be taken to the cleaners by those who charge the slow bleed scheme known as assets under management? That's right. Investment advisors who charge a commission based on the value of your portfolio are often taking you to the cleaners, and thus the theme to think about. This episode is sponsored by Truesdell Wealth, a registered investment advisor, where tradition, transparency, and truthfulness are the bedrocks to the practice. Truesdell Wealth, a true fiduciary-based registered investment advisor based on common sense and fairness. Now back to the Pauls.
So one of the things that we do here is we do forecasting. And as investment advisors, I think you don't have a lot of people that actually do what we do. We encourage you to give us a ring. And like we said before, 212-433-2525. There's about 50 investment groups nationwide. They've been buying building sites all across the damn country. They're building out their own brands. What's that? Mr. Clean is one of them.
Yeah, I remember seeing the first Mr. Clean pop up, and I wondered if it was corporate, and I looked, and they licensed it, which, in my mind, that's probably one of the best brands that you can think of for Smart. A car wash. Is yeah. Genius.
And for those of you who follow AOC, who think that, you know, we were living in caves about 100 years ago, the actual first auto laundry, that's right, they were called auto laundries, was a patent was filed back in 1900. It was called the Hanley Vehicle Washer, and they called them auto laundries. And then there was a thing called Minuteman Automatic Car Washes. And that's when you started having all the mechanical thingamabobs, we would say today, all the sprayers. 1946. In the 1960s and 70s, most of your car washes were mom and pops. Again, going back to Breaking Bad, an end of an era. And, you know, you had some hilarious movies, like the song we played earlier, the movie Car Wash, with Richard Pryor and George Carlin. Love me some George Carlin. 1976, a great year, year of Donna Summers, a lot of disco and all that kind of stuff. So what we've got going on here and what we're saying to you is that car washes have been an evolution. Now, instead of a business that mom and pop would do, these are things where big money managers are moving in, buying land. And instead of planting trees, they're planting a car wash.
Because it turns out trees don't grow money.
No, they don't grow money. They take
unless you're growing like cashews or something.
Yeah, they take too damn long. So it's an evolution. And evolutions mirror habits and trends, technology and business practices. We're seeing a replacement of human workers with machines, and people need to pick up their game. And that's all there is to it. You know, you now have automatic payment kiosks and unmanned tunnels, and you're slashing labor costs, maintenance costs. You're recycling the water. You know, if you do some reading out there, you'll see them say, "Oh, no, car washes are good because it only takes 50 gallons to wash a car, and 80% of it's recycled. But if you use a bucket and a hose, that's about 150 gallons."
How?
If you leave the hose running the whole time.
Wow. Yeah. I between filling a rinse bucket and diluting some various chemicals and I use a high pressure thing.
10 or 20 gallons maybe?
20 like would be
pushing it.
Maybe 20 to 25 would be max. And that's zero recovery, like in the driveway, which is this is one of the things I was going to mention. Is some places so they've made it illegal to wash your car, some cities, and they do that because the argument is the soap can increase algae in the rivers, so therefore you're not allowed to wash your car.
Just
of course, all that does is insulate the car wash business.
Exactly. And again, one of the things that we also do is we call out. I have no use for opinionated journalism. I have no use for these people who are carrying water for organizations that are simply trying to get a bigger moat. And that's all there is to it. I mean, look at here. I'm going to touch on a nasty rail. Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, you have God, Jesus Christ, and Warren Buffett for some of these people. It's just like your Muskites. I'm not talking about Moscow. I'm talking about Elon Muskites. Warren Buffett and his Berkshire Hathaway did more damage to the environment because he didn't want pipes to come.
Oh, yeah.
You go ahead and tell that because I just get very frustrated over that.
Well, everybody knows one of the most efficient ways to move things around in anywhere is by rail, right? Fantastic mode of transportation, primarily for heavy or bulky stuff. You can look up the efficiencies of modern train cars fuel or whatever used per ton of cargo. It's amazingly efficient compared to any other mode of transportation. But Warren Buffett, he owns which group? It's not coming to mind.
Northern.
So one of the
Burlington things, Northern.
Yeah, Burlington Northern. It's funny is Bill Gates also, he owns the one in Canada as well.
Oh, Shazam.
And the thing, of course, they're buddies. And one of the things he did was they lobbied to make sure that under the guise of being green, they lobbied the government and politicians and everybody else to prevent these pipelines, primarily things like the Keystone Pipeline.
Oh, and that was during the Obama administration.
And Trump.
Trump.
And Biden.
Oh, and Biden.
Yep, everybody. And one of the reasons they did it was because the natural gas and oil is being carted down to refineries and everywhere else for distribution by rail. That's a huge portion of their business. But what's interesting is despite the efficiency of trains for natural gas or oil, there's only one more efficient, option, and that's pipelines. Dedicated pipelines are the most efficient mode of transportation for your energy products. So it's pretty simple. Like their market was being stepped on potentially by these guys, and they didn't want to get cut out. It's very simple. So, and then on top of that, you know, the fact that the rail companies do not invest in maintenance of their infrastructure nearly as much as they should. You can see train derailments, chemicals polluting places, doing all kinds of nasty stuff pretty much every week if you look into the right news channels that cover industrial accidents and that sort of thing. It's unfortunate.
Well, I'll wrap this up. We'll get out of here in just a second. I will tell you, if you remember the Exxon Valdez, I remember all the environmentalists screaming and hollering to stop the boats, stop the shipping of oil by boat, build pipelines. And then, of course, you build the pipeline. And, of course, the Alaskan pipeline was ugly and it's going to break. And the poor elk and the deer and Bambi are going to have to live in oil. And then, of course, then that became unpopular. Now, then we have trains. Let's build tracks because trains never derail.
Well, we don't build tracks. That's
right.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is the maintenance on them and the lack of, I mean, you can go back and look at the effect of the automobile industry on the train network, and it's atrocious. There are some fantastic photos from LA and other places in the this period post-World War II where the auto companies, obviously they were instrumental in the war effort and employed millions of people, and now they were struggling to survive because you didn't have infinity stimulus from war. So one of the things they did was a huge lobbying effort to get rid of public transportation all over the country to force people to buy cars. So you have places like this one that comes to mind is this photo of all of these stacked commuter trains or like trolleys.
Yeah.
Stacked, you know, 10 or 10 high or something in a giant brick someplace because they were tearing up all of the, you know, cheap or free public transportation. I think it was LA, but, you know, this happened all over the country. And so, you know, so people wonder why does everybody have to have a car? Why is public transportation so hit or miss in the United States? And it's like, well, consequences.
Yeah, well, we've been to San Francisco more than a few times. Haven't been there lately because of all the crime and the hobos and the feces on the sidewalk and everywhere else. But the trolleys are kind of cool there.
It underserves the community by a lot, though. There's not enough of them. It's mainly a tourist thing. I mean, that's the issue with a lot of this stuff. It's just the little bit that does exist, it's just not enough.
Well, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to find the Universal Pictures movie Car Wash released on September 3rd, 1976. Going to spend about 97 plus minutes. By the way, Car Wash was made with a grand total budget of $2 million, which is about the revenue of a car wash now today. Okay, so I'm Paul the Elder, and joining me is the
Paul the Younger.
And we're going to be out of here. Thanks for joining us. Remember, tell family, friends, neighbors, relatives, coworkers, go ahead and hit that like button on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. With that, we're out of here. Bye.
You have been listening to the Paul Truesdell podcast. For additional items, serious to humorous, wisdom to occasional outrage of various degrees, visit paultruesdell.com. That's paultruesdell.com.
Grant Truesdell.
Roger that. Dust off in five. On the floor, now!